Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Some of you don't know who I am. I'm Jason. My family, we lived here in Lubbock for a long time, almost at Hamburg. Hamburg's become home for us. It's weird to be, it's weird to have home in two places. It's weird to think about you and think about this church and think about Lubbock and then to think about Hamburg and the churches we've planted and the friends we've made there. We're really kind of people stuck between two worlds. And sometimes that's a hard thing, but sometimes that's actually a good thing, and it's not as hard as it seems, because in postmodern Europe, in Germany where we live, in Hamburg, Germany, the culture is probably values-wise about 10 years ahead of where America is, maybe 12 or 13 ahead of Lubbock, because you laugh, like, but it's not that Lubbock is behind the curve in development, it's just that the Christian value system is a little bit more prevalent here than it is in, say, Dallas or Austin or Houston. Our first day back, we were running around trying to get debit cards lined up and get all the stuff that we needed to have done, and so I went to the AT&T store and sat down with a guy to get a SIM card for my phone, and noticed he had a tattoo on his arm. So I said, "Hey, what's that tattoo mean?" He said, "Oh, it is finished." I said, "I know what it means, but what does it mean to you?" And he says, "Well, about 9 months ago, I had this experience with Jesus, and I realized I didn't have to carry my shame and my burden anymore." And so we started talking, and he's a new believer, and so we just had this great faith conversation sitting around the table in the AT&T store where everybody could hear us. Went from there to Citibank, and this lady said, "Oh, what do you do? Why are you back in Hamburg?" I said, "Well, we're church planters, and we live in Hamburg. We're back in Lubbock for a year of stateside assignment." And she said, "A church planter, what's that like?" I said, "Well, you know, in a lot of cultures, church or Christianity is about going to church. It's about a checklist of things, but what we're trying to help people in Germany understand is that Christianity is a relationship with Jesus." And she said, "Whoa, a relationship with Jesus? That's what I believe too." And so then I'm having this faith conversation with this lady at the bank, and then we go to lunch, and they're like, "Hey, y'all have a great 4th of July weekend, and we love that you guys are back." And it's just, it's good to be home. It's good to be home. But the faith conversations that we've been having are, it just makes us aware of the Christian value system that our culture here is built on. Having said that, what I do want to do this morning is give you kind of a heads up on where the culture here is going and what we've experienced in Hamburg and what we do in Hamburg. But first, I want to introduce you to my team. So we are church planters with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. We left Lubbock 5 years ago on July 1st, so it's been 5 years and a week since we left. When we got to Hamburg, we had a team, and we were team members. The Pedrosas, you know Catelyn, she's there in the middle. Her husband's not in this picture, he had to run off to a meeting. From left to right, our team members are Ark and his son Uriah, and then I'm holding Emery, and then my wife Karen, and then you've got Carson and Riley in front of Catelyn, and the strapping young lad in the back, the handsome guy with the great smile, is my son. I'm just practicing that because he'll be here in the next service, so I just wanted to get that out. And then my daughter Kayla is holding Noah, and then Nate, our journeyman, there on the end. Rachel, Ark's wife, is also not in the picture. But when we got to Hamburg, we had a team, and we were just team members, and one couple retired and one couple moved south, and then the Pedrosas came here for their year of exile out of Germany, and we were alone and started rebuilding our team. And so when Marcus and Catelyn got back, and this is really the way it usually is with our team, it's not all smiles, it's usually disheveled. I don't know what Nate's doing. It's kind of crazy. So what we did is we landed in Germany in 2011, and we started trying to figure out how do we get opportunities to share the gospel with people. And people had warned us ahead of time, be sure to not tell people that you're Christians. Be sure to not tell people that you are missionaries. Be sure to not tell people. So there's this big, long list of things we shouldn't say, right? And we were told, you're a life coach, or, you know, we owned a martial arts school when we were here in Lubbock, and so that was one of the things we took with us, was our gear and stuff to be able to teach taekwondo with inner city kids and families. And so we came up with all kinds of crazy things that we said. So we started taekwondo lessons. We do biker ministry. The picture in the bottom right-hand corner is me sharing the gospel with 300 lost bikers in Berlin at a soldier's memorial run for fallen soldiers. So biker Jason, taekwondo Jason, football Jason, football bishops, everything American. My kids both played American football. Jeremiah was quarterback, and my daughter Kayla was cornerback. Oddly enough, Kayla is the first girl in the North Germany Flag Football League to, as a quarterback, she played quarterback for one play, and that play was a touchdown. So she's the first girl quarterback to score a touchdown in the North German Flag Football League. And it's all these identity things, all these, you're a football player, you're a Texan, so you're automatically good at football, baseball, basketball, sports stuff. No clue about soccer, although we are big soccer fans now. I played soccer when I was here, played indoor soccer, but it wasn't the same. And when we got to Germany, we learned what they would say real football is. But it's Fußball, but we played American football. We still coach. I was still coaching the team when we left. We train national partners. We find pastors who, this is Tadeusz. We train local pastors to be able to share the gospel. And so Nate and Tadeusz have been going out to the college university campus and sharing the gospel. And Tadeusz recently baptized a lady that came to faith. And the bottom picture is him going to Ukraine and teaching what we've trained him to teach, how to make disciples and how to share the gospel with people. This is Gracie. And she's been someone we've been discipling for almost 2 years, and she has just recently planted a church with her family. And we get together for breakfast and share the gospel and share with each other. And it became real easy for us in our identity to then take on this, okay, so Jason, the martial arts guy, Jason, the biker, Jason, the football coach. And then there became, you know, Pastor Jason, who was a pastor for 23 years in America. He's going to come show us how to be pastors here. And that's not what they needed. We planted churches. This is one of the churches we trained. They had a going away party for us. We've done. the ironic thing about this picture is the guy in the front center bottom, the Chinese man. His name is Ying Kai, and he was ground zero for a church planting movement in China, where to date over 8 million people have come to faith. And they've planted thousands upon thousands of churches. And what we're doing now, we learn from him. And he's very quiet and very humble and very reserved. And so this picture, it makes everybody that knows him laugh, because he would never do that except for this picture. So the house churches that we've been planting, they meet in homes. They're centered around a specific process. We have the opportunity sometimes to go, like when this was Germany was playing in the European Championship, so we went to the restaurant down the street from our house with our Sunday night church. They'll be listening in the next service, a church that we're planting in Horn. So the idea is, the goal is to plant churches. That's our bottom line. So it became very easy for us with these different identities we had to try and plant churches in the vein of these identities. Come be with these people who've been doing church for a long time. But what we discovered is all that does is it attracts other Christians. It attracts people from churches that are dissatisfied with their church, and they bring that dissatisfaction with them to your church. And what we ended up planting when we first got there ended up just being groups of Christian friends who wanted to huddle together and sing songs and lift their hands and talk about how great the Christian faith was for them. Meanwhile, the rest of Hamburg, the rest of Germany, and the rest of Europe was dying lost with no relationship with Jesus. Hamburg is a metropolitan area of 5 million people. Yeah, wow. 2 million, Hamburg is also a city-state, so 2 million live inside the downtown, the city limits. And then with all the cities connected to Hamburg, it's over 5 million, it's 5.1 million people. Hamburg is less than 1% Christian. Now, when you start doing that math, Lubbock, Texas has more Christians, not per capita, total. Lubbock, Texas has more Christians at about 52,000 Christians here than the 50,000 Christians that are in Hamburg, trying to reach 5.1 million people. And what's happened is exactly what will happen in the American culture if we don't do something about it early enough. The Christians who are persecuted, they're not persecuted with threats of violence, they're persecuted with religion is a personal topic that you are not allowed to speak with others about. We've been out on the street sharing the gospel with people to have people say, you need to stop this immediately. This is dangerous. This shouldn't happen here. And so the Christians say, oh, you're right, I'm sorry. And they back away, and then they gather together and they huddle together in safe places. And so what we started doing was we started asking the question, what is it going to take? What's it going to take to we can honestly say of Hamburg, Germany, there's no place left to preach the gospel? See, Paul said that in Romans 15. He had realized that through all of Asia, he had been everywhere where lostness was, and he had preached the gospel everywhere. And he says, I've just now realized I have to leave where we've been. I need to go to Europe because there's no place left here for me to preach the gospel. And so we decided that was going to be our theme. That's our concept. What will it take for us to be sure at some point in our future that every person in Hamburg, Germany has had an opportunity to respond to the gospel? Now, them becoming followers of Jesus is not our responsibility. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But the scripture makes it very clear that to spread the seed, to plant the seed. Sorry, I got a couple of vicious hugs right before the service and the microphone got all wonky. But they were great hugs. So keep it up. What's it going to take to make sure that every person has an opportunity to respond to the gospel? Well, first and foremost, it's going to take us realizing what are the relationships we have where we need to be sharing the gospel. And so we started making lists like this. In this list, you'll see that I'm in the middle. This is my personal list. And in this personal list, it has the squares are where I'm connected through activities, and then the circles are people. The circles, you probably can't see it real well, the circles that have crosses on them are people who have come to faith since we've been there. And then if they have little tick marks on them, those are people who are actually sharing the gospel. And what I want to draw your attention to is actually in this next slide, where it says bishops, kind of in the center, and then it goes up through a couple circles, Natalie, Miriam, where it says four girls, and then Natalie and Mario, to Yana and Melvin, Janina and Melvin, and then six confis. Those are confirmation candidates. The national church. Germany is a Christian country with a national church where your tax dollars go to support the church. And they do a ceremony that's a two-year process for 13-year-olds to confirm that they understand why they are members of the church. And so it's a two-year process. They get thousands of euro of gifts. The only reason that the young people are still doing it, by and large, is because they get showered with gifts, computers, thousands, literally 5,000-6,000 euros in cash. And so it's become a kind of a Christmas process, but much, much bigger. So when we say six confis there, those are confirmation candidates. So just after we started doing what I'm about to share with you, Mario came to faith. And Mario and Katja and Jana and Simone all became believers and began sharing with their friends. And Mario's sister Natalie came home from England. They met a couple people and began leading them to faith. And what we see in this chart is what we've been working 6 years for, 5 years for, and this is why I want to share it with you. The people out on the fringes out there where it says four girls and where it says six confis or where it says down at the bottom, Mathan, those are people who have come to faith through people that we led to faith, through people they led to faith. These are third-generation Christians that hasn't happened in Hamburg in decades. And so it's not because, well, first and foremost, I want to say to you, thank you, because you have been praying for us for 5 years, and prayer is the greatest foundation for the work that we're doing. And these people, that their names are now on this chart because they've come to faith, and because Mathan, who's a refugee from Iraq, is now a follower of Jesus because you as the body of Christ have been praying for the work that we've been doing in Hamburg. So I want to say to you, thank you. But I also want to say that had Tobias not opened his mouth, if Tobias had taken the typical stance of the church, I'm going to live my Christian life and hope that they ask me what my life is about, or maybe I'll get the guts up one day to invite them to church and let the pastor, let the professionals share with them the gospel. Mathan may not have ever come to faith if Tobias hadn't opened his mouth. See, Romans says faith comes by hearing. And when Tobias said, Mathan, you are separated from God by your sin. And you have no hope of an eternity without Jesus Christ. Would you like to give your life to Jesus today and follow him as your Lord and Savior? When Tobias said that, He did something that most people in Germany will not do. He shared the gospel plainly and clearly with someone who needed Jesus. And Nathan said, yes, how could I not want that? And so we've been seeing people be inspired by the gospel. The gospel is changing their lives, and they're realizing that the gospel is not just something that we can just set to the side or hope that people will eventually ask about. And so this is the theme we've adopted. No place left. We want to make sure that all 107 neighborhoods of Hamburg, there's seven districts, and in those seven districts, there's 107 neighborhoods. We want to make sure that every neighborhood has had a chance to respond to the gospel. And so we're planting churches in the districts, hoping that those churches will plant churches that spread out through the district into the neighborhoods. We've recently planted a church in the biggest district that was the district we targeted from the beginning. And a house church was planted there 4 weeks ago. So it's an exciting time in Hamburg, and it was just in time for us to leave and come home. But it's good because the work is not dependent on us. The work is dependent on the Holy Spirit, and He's there. And He's here. And what I want to share with you this morning is the strategy that I learned from Ying Kai, that he learned from the Bible. Actually, I learned it from the Bible too and just never put it to practice. It's kind of cool because what we're doing is basically youth ministry for adults. And we'll do crazy stuff and go out and do things and play games and stuff. They're like, this is what Christianity's about? I'm like, yeah, Christianity's fun. It's not always fun, but it can be fun. It doesn't have to be this boring liturgy where you just attend a worship service on Sunday morning and then you consider yourself a Christian because you pay your taxes. So we learned this strategy, and I saw this cartoon the other day, and it says, so guys, if you feel comfy telling someone about me during the regular course of your life, that would be nice of you. If your denomination does baptisms, and if the Trinitarian nature of God fits with your worldview, then great, include those aspects in your effort. But be careful not to suggest that they follow my commandments too closely, though. That would be just weird. And you don't want to be weird. Right? This is a play on a specific passage that Jesus gave to his disciples, kind of their marching orders as Jesus prepared for his ascension. Even though these guys were with Jesus for 3 years, they were knuckleheads that managed to blow it time and time again, right? Peter cutting people's ears off. I always say that story would be better if Peter had cut the soldier's head off, because then when Jesus put the head back on, it would have been an even greater miracle. Just the ear slapping it back on. You know, these guys, they made mistake after mistake, and Jesus constantly said to them, how long do I have to be with you that you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you? And then we come to this passage in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus gives them this simple sentence, this simple statement, and from this statement, we see a different bunch of disciples. It became more than just a concept or a principle or something they saw modeled through Jesus. This, it's called the Great Commission. This text, this passage, became their identity. And church, I'm here to tell you today that if we want to reach Lubbock, Texas, if we want to reach Hamburg, Germany, if we want to reach our neighbors, our identity has to be in Jesus, and not just that Jesus is an add-on to our belief system. That our comfortable, easy, laid-back lives of hoping for the best and having a God who supports us in the worst is not enough to reach the nations. And it says in this text, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this identity thing that I was talking about, how we had this loss of identity when we went to Hamburg. We were trying to find ourselves and figure out who we are, how do we fit in, how do we get to the gospel with people, was fixed by this passage in the Bible. We had an identity when we landed in Hamburg. We had an identity when we lived here. But that identity was not that you're a Taekwondo instructor or a teacher in school or a business owner or a postman or a retail salesperson. That is not your identity. That is what you do. For those who are born again, your identity is that you are a follower of Christ who's given you marching orders. And we take those marching orders and say, my king has said to me, this is what I should be doing. Actually, this is what I should be doing, maybe a little bit light and indirect. I've learned my personality, I tend to be indirect when I should be direct. So I'm just going to say it. We must be doing what our king has commanded. If you were a soldier in the army and your commanding officer said, go and do this, and you said no, or I'll do it when it feels comfortable. I heard a snicker. There's somebody with military experience in this room. It won't fly. It's like when I tell my kids, all right, your rooms are a mess. Go upstairs and clean your rooms. And they go, huh. Later. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. And I know my wife's really the general of our house, but I like to think that I am. And when I give the marching orders, our kids should snap to it, right? Boom. The boss said it. Get after it. The disciples understood as Jesus gave them this passage that the boss said it. Now it's time to get after it. How do we know this? Because the very next thing in the chronology of their lives is Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, where the church is born, where thousands are coming to faith because they are going out and making disciples. And they're not making disciples saying, let's get together and let's read a book and let's process that over the course of 32 weeks. They went out and said, because of your sin, because of your actions, Jesus had to die. And because of God's great love for us, he lives again and we can have a relationship with him if you'll repent and believe. And thousands come to faith. And this is the kind of faith that needs to be spoken in the lives of our friends. So I'm going to break this down for you. And these are the things that are going to be in the middle of our page are our five strategy points for our work in Hamburg. But it starts with this idea, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What does it mean to have all authority in heaven and on earth? All authority. So this is something I ran into in the German churches where I preach also. They're very not used to crowd participation. And so I would ask a question, and they would all just... So I said, it's okay to answer. Let me ask the question this way. On the front end of this, if all authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus, how much authority do we have? In one aspect, we have none. In another aspect, we have all. Okay, and we'll get to the aspect where we have all authority near the end. Right now, Jesus is saying, I'm the boss. I created it all. It exists by me and for me and through me. And then he gives us a joining word, therefore. That word is paramount because he's saying, because I have all authority, you need to do what I'm about to tell you. This therefore is huge. It's a significant word. Jesus isn't saying because I'm asking or because we've been together for 3 years or because you love me. I mean, there are days where I feel like, Jesus, I'm having a hard time loving you right now. And he says, in spite of that, you've got marching orders. I mean, if we're being honest, can we be honest that sometimes it's hard to... Sometimes there's days where it's just hard. Sometimes there are days where I set my selfish agenda before Jesus's, and that's what makes it hard, but nevertheless, it's hard. Jesus doesn't say when you feel like it, when it's comfortable, when your neighbor feels like they're ready for it. If it doesn't make you look weird, if it doesn't make you look out of place, if it doesn't make you... He doesn't give us this long list of, okay, I want you to go, but this, 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 and this. He just says, I have all the authority, heaven and earth, therefore, go. Our typical response as modern as 21st century Christians is to talk about our church, to talk about how great the worship at our church is or how engaging the pastor is, even though he might be a little bit long-winded. I'm glad he's on a cruise right now and can't hear me. The idea of going stands in, what the German word is, Gegenstand. It's opposite from, I can't think of the English word right now. The word go is opposite from come. Jesus didn't say, invite your friends to church. Invite your friends to something. Invite your friends to hear the pastor. Invite your friends to meet other people that will share the gospel with them. The modern church has done a great job of providing an opportunity for us to worship together as the family, to come together in a place that has air conditioning. We don't have air conditioning in Germany. I know it's weird, right? But yesterday it was 65 degrees in Hamburg. So we'll have a couple weeks where it'll be close to 100, and we'll just be, and there's no relief. You can't go home into the air conditioning. Your sleep is. But the church is there, and the church is here, do a great job of providing a place where we can worship together. This was never meant to be the lone source of evangelism in the Christian faith. This, what we're doing this morning, is where we get our tanks refilled. We're in God's presence. We're singing to Him. We're singing for Him. And I got news for you. Lost people don't get that. They might be moved by the music. They might say, that song really moved me. But they're not saying that the Jesus of that song really moved me. Jesus said, go. Not just offer an invitation. Not just say, come with me to church. Come with me to this evangelist. Those are, there's nothing wrong with an evangelistic event. But it should never take the place of Jesus' great commission in our lives that we should be going. We must be going. Where? Where are we going? Jesus said in this passage, to all nations. We don't get to choose who hears the gospel from us. Although that's the way we normally operate, right? We look for people that are like us. Hey, that guy looks pretty cool. I think I could have a good conversation with him. That guy's wearing a Harley shirt. Maybe we could get together and have a good conversation. That guy rides a motorcycle. That guy does this or that. They're like me. I like them. Let's get together and we'll have a good Christian life together. Jesus said, go to everyone. We don't get to choose who hears the gospel. We are the gospel carriers. We're the message carriers for every person we come in contact with. One of the things that we're doing with our German partners is we're saying, open up your phone, get your address book out, and look at all the people you're connected to. Why do you think God connected you to those people? Is it too far-fetched to think that maybe God has connected us to the people we're connected to because we're supposed to be sharing the gospel with those people? Is that crazy to think? That God would connect us with people who need His salvation so that we could share that salvation with them? We don't just choose. We don't just get to pick. We don't only look for the low-hanging fruit. This guy, man, he's in real distress. I'm going to share Jesus with him. Everyone needs the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus. When you hear me say the gospel, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about a track or just the message of Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. And we are His ambassadors. And there is no plan B. We are plan A and plan only with marching orders. Go to everyone. And make disciples of all nations. There were years and years and years of the church in Germany, not that we can identify with it here in America, saying the mark of a good Christian, the mark of a disciple is they attend something. They attend, they hear, we see their face, they give some money, they go home. And that's a disciple. Oswald Chambers said that a disciple is only those that make disciples. If a person's not making disciples, they themselves are not a disciple. Webster's defines a disciple as one who hears, learns, and passes on the teachings of his master. And modern Christians are good at hearing the teachings of their master, learning the teachings of their master. But when it comes time for giving them to other people, we're like, oh, that's a little weird. That's a little awkward. We're to be making disciples. And this is an interesting point that Jesus says, is make disciples, and then He says, and baptize them. But this idea of making disciples is not what we in the West would call discipleship either. Because the baptism happens after they are made to disciples. This is share the gospel with people so they can become followers of Jesus, and then baptize them. Offer baptism. Baptism is an important part. Baptism is a testimony. Baptism is our first witness of what's happened inside us. And so Jesus is saying, lead them to faith in me and then teach them how to be witnesses, to be a testimony of this salvation that they've received. So we're to go to everyone. Why? Because Jesus said so and he has all the authority. What are we supposed to do with them? We're supposed to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them. I come from a Baptist heritage. I was saved in the Southern Baptist Church. I grew up, well, I was saved when I was 17. Many of you know my family story. You know my history. To say I grew up in the church only means that my faith development in the church happened in the Baptist Church. And the Southern Baptist Church is very, very good at teaching. They pride themselves on being people of the Word, conservative, biblical theologians who understand what it is God wants us to learn. And so it's very possible that you, like me, grew up in a tradition where as a follower of Jesus, you're always learning. But Jesus didn't say teach them. He said teach them to obey. Is the measure of how good we're doing with our teaching how much people are learning? Or is the measure of how good our teaching is how much they're doing because of the teaching? Jesus said, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. It's not enough, folks, to just say, I know the Bible front and back. I can tell you, Old Testament, New Testament, I learned Bible drill. I can open my Bible in 4 seconds to any obscure passage you come up with. We have a tendency to want to always be learning when the truth is we already know more than we're being obedient to. Our goal is not to always be learning. Our goal is to be hearers and doers of the Word. Jesus would never have had in his mind that this could possibly mean offer discipleship courses where people learn every week and no one's lives are ever changed by it. That is not what it means to teach. So these are the pillars of our strategy in Homburg. We believe that every person we encounter is someone that God has put in our path because they need to hear the gospel. And then it's our job to figure out how are we going to help them hear the gospel. What is it they need in this moment to see and understand and experience Jesus? So we're going and we'll go out on the street with strangers. We'll go, we'll set up appointments with people we've met. Hey, you got time to have dinner later this week? You got time to go grab a cup of coffee? Homburg is not the beer capital of Germany, although Germany is probably the beer capital of the world. Homburg is the coffee capital of Europe. All the coffee beans that come into Europe come through our port. And so it's actually more expensive to drink coffee than beer. But we actually have what I think is the best coffee in the world. So it's very easy to say, hey, I've got a friend that he said something the other day during one of our football practices. He said, it's good that you're our coach because it's obvious God's on your side. I was like, what does that mean? He goes, we should win all of our games, right? God's on your side. I was like, well, I don't think that's exactly how it works, although I hope it does. I'd like to win all of our games too. But that's an interesting statement. How did you know that Jesus is important to me? He goes, well, I know you're a Christian, and I know you were a pastor. And I said, have you got time to get together this week? Let's have a cup of coffee. And, you know, we don't know each other really well. And I would love to really explain to you why Jesus is important to me. Let's get together and have some coffee. We had dinner for 4 hours. He didn't decide to follow Jesus. But he heard the gospel clearly, and his response to the gospel was, my wife and I lost 4 children before our first child was born. If there really is a God, how could he let something so bad happen in my life? And that's a valid question. It has a valid answer. But sitting in a restaurant over schnitzel, we had schnitzel. It's the best schnitzel in Germany. It was there in Schweinske. We had schnitzel, and he opened his heart to me, and I was able to share with him, you know, there is a God who loves you, and I know you don't believe in him. I know it's hard for you to understand that right now. But we need to take the time to listen to what's happening around us and engage the people around us with the gospel, teaching them that God loves them, he has a plan for them, he wants to save them, and he has things that he wants to do with them. Now, this is the great part of this passage. You know, all authority belongs to Jesus. And in the first part of the message, we talked about how that means he has all authority and we have none. The awesome thing is, he says at the end of this passage, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Because I don't know about you, but when Jesus says, all authority belongs to me and I'm going to be with you, so guess what? You go in my authority. The big dog is there with you. There is no enemy, there is no weapon, there is nothing that can stand against Jesus. We have nothing to fear. We have the greatest message of all time, and Jesus says, and I'm going to go with you. The thing is, he says, and I am with you always. It begs the question, when we choose not to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them and teach them to obey, when that's our choice, are we saying, and Jesus, and I don't need you with me? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded, and never forget I am with you even to the end of the age. That's good news. You will not open your mouth and share the gospel with someone who doesn't need to hear it. You will not open your mouth and share the gospel with someone that Jesus doesn't want to save. And you will never open your mouth and share the gospel in a way that Jesus, I guess you could do it in a way that Jesus doesn't approve of. But when you open your mouth and speak the truth of the gospel into people's lives, Jesus' authority is undergirding what you're saying. You're not speaking in your own authority. You're speaking in His, and He is the creator of the universe. And so as we wrap up today, let me ask you this question. Oh, there's a couple questions that need asked. How are you doing? Are you out there giving it your all? Are you a little bit scared or uncomfortable with the idea of sharing the gospel with people who might reject it? The reality is we all are. I grew up in a family where we're people, and we've never met a stranger. It embarrasses my wife sometimes. You know, when a salesperson has a name tag on, it's got their first name on it, I call them by name. She elbows me and says, why are you doing that? I'm like, well, they want me to use their name. It's on their shirt. She's like, no, that's too personal. I've never met a stranger. I could have conversations. But you know what? I get scared sometimes too. I find it terrifying sometimes to think, all right, God's told me to go out in the street with my buddies, and we're just going to go find random strangers and tell them about Jesus. It's terrifying sometimes. And I'm a people person. My wife is not a people person, and it's terrifying even more so for her. But we found that when we get over our fear and we say, all right, but Jesus has told us to do it, the experiences that we have afterwards, we're like, why were we so terrified before? Why are we so scared and uncomfortable with this? That was easy. Even with people that tell us, shut up. This is too personal. You're going to cause World War III. We actually can laugh about that afterwards and go, wow, that was pretty extreme. It's pretty intense. But it was pretty cool. So we're going to be here for a year, and I'm going to be available to go out and hit the streets with anybody that wants to go. And we're going to take Lubbock from 25% reach to whatever God wants to do with us. Even if He wants to make it less, but we're being faithful, then amen. So the church office here knows how to get a hold of me. If you're like, hey, you know what, I want to go out and hit the street with somebody, get in touch with me. I don't have any partners here yet to go just do street evangelism with. Does that word sound threatening and terrifying, street evangelism? Let's put it this way. I don't have anybody yet that we can go talk about Jesus with. Sorry, I didn't mean to blow you out of the water with street evangelism. We're not going to be preaching, or well, maybe we will. You never know. There might be someone here today that's thinking, you know what, this all makes sense to me, but this idea of becoming a disciple, following Jesus, and making Him Lord of my life where He has all this authority, maybe that's new to you. Maybe that's something you've never really thought about. If that's the case, I would love to visit with you after the service and share with you how you can take Jesus' authority as your own authority and how you can become a follower of His. It's really simple, although it costs you everything. It's so simple, God helped me figure it out when I was 17 years old, so I know everyone here can figure this out. So if that's you and you want to know how you can become a follower of Jesus, then find me after the service. We'll sit and talk. Or we'll go this week and have a cup of coffee. Does Lubbock have any good coffee shops?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you first and foremost for your presence here in this place, for a church that we can call home, a place where we feel at home, where we are with friends and with family. God, I pray that you will help us to be bold, to go in your authority to everyone, to take you honestly and sincerely at your word, that you have a plan for us to go and share, and that you're going to go with us, and we have nothing to fear. Help us, Father. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.